the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. Surprise, surprise, we have talked about taxes many times here on Lifetime Income. In addition to healthcare and housing, the expense you incur for taxes is an important part of your retirement spending. I'm sure most of you are aware by now that there is a new tax bill being called tax reform that remains to be seen, worming its way through Congress, which could actually increase your taxes depending on your income. You've already seen Medicare premiums going up based on income, and based on your income, and depending on how they restructure brackets and deductions and or exemptions, your taxes may be going up. Now, the real question is, and this one has always been a head scratcher for me, Jim, why many retirees wind up facing higher taxes during retirement? I mean, you would think that they're not generating all this income anymore as they were when they were working, and theoretically, they should be in a lower bracket. So why is that?
You know, there are a number of factors, and some of them are recent, John. One of them was the Obamacare taxes that came in on investment income when Obamacare was fully implemented, and that's the 3.8% additional tax you pay on interest, dividends, rents, annuities, and capital gains based on what income bracket that you fall in. So now we have a 3.8% extra dividend and capital gain tax. And also, during the financial crisis, a number of states, including my own state of California, ended up raising taxes several times. California has raised taxes every 2 years, and this year they raised taxes twice. We'll get into that in just a moment if you're a California resident. The other thing that happens is a lot of individuals have saved most of their retirement assets were in their 401k or pension plans. So when they retire and they leave the company or they close out their company and sell it, they roll their assets over into an IRA. And what happens is at age 70 and a half, you are required to take minimum distributions from that IRA. And the amount that you're supposed to take out rises every single year. Every year you get older, the more that you will take out. I have clients in their 90s that are taking out almost 9 to 10% of their IRA out because that's what the law requires. So you have RMD, or what we call required mandatory distributions from IRAs. And a number of years ago, the IRS changed the laws in terms of how much you had to take it out. You used to be able to extend it over a period of time if you based it on the joint life expectancy of both you and your wife, because a woman actually lives longer. So we could sort of minimize the amount you were taking out, but they did away with that, came up with new tables that actually accelerated the amount that you had to take out. Because what is the government looking for? They're looking for more tax revenues. The way to do that is force a lot of people with trillions of dollars in IRAs to take out more of their income. And then I would say probably the other reason is lack of retirement planning. I mean, this is something that should be handled and addressed in your retirement plan, your tax situation, your estate planning situation. It's not just your investments, but what's going to happen when you turn 70 and a half and you have to take mandatory distributions? That's why we do like a lot of Roth conversions, and we do certain other things that can minimize taxes on the personal side. And there's other factors which we're going to get into here that can reduce those taxes. But basically, these are, John, I would say four things that have happened. The Obamacare taxes, a number of states raising taxes, and that's what they do during economic downturn. The states run into big budget deficits. What do? They increase the taxes. And the thing that kind of bugs me, and you see this all the time, I don't know if you've run into this, John, you see cities and states don't want to raise their income taxes up too much. So what they'll do is they'll do it on tourists. And so they'll raise hotel taxes and fees. And I hate, and I'm sure if you're listening, you've run across this, when you're traveling somewhere and you're trying to find out what is it going to cost you to stay at a hotel, you call and they go, oh, it's going to be $250. What they didn't tell you is there's another $38.50 of state or local taxes. There's a resort fee of $25. There's a parking fee of $20. So what was $250 a room turns out to be $350 a room by the time they add in all those other taxes.
And for many, we should add, the current tax bill, and of course, we haven't seen the final version. You know, this bats back and forth between the House and the Senate, and then they have to come up with a reconciled bill. But based on what we've seen in terms of preliminary goals for the bill, for many retirees, their taxes could change for better or for worse, depending on where they live and the level of their income. And I think in states such as yours, Jim, which is already very expensive, not just to mention state taxes, this is going to be really significant.
Well, it's a big part of it. And we need to talk about two measures of this bill. We know that they want to simplify to three tax brackets from 7, 12, 25%, and 35%. What we don't know is what income range do they base those brackets on? And a good example of what states can do, and this happened in the state of Arizona. It used to be if you lived in Arizona, the first $350,000 was taxed at 2.5%. Anything over that was taxed at 4.5%. Well, Arizona didn't raise income taxes, but they lowered the brackets. Now, you pay tax of 2.5% starting at a little over $10,000, and you hit the 4.5% bracket at $152,000. So, they could actually lower the brackets, which sounds, oh, wonderful. They've lowered my tax bracket. But what if they set the barriers of which those brackets kick in at a lower level? So we don't know where those tax brackets are going to be set at. Number two, the other thing they're talking about is getting rid of and eliminating most itemized deductions. And if you listen to this program, hopefully you listen to the program, the weekend program we did the week before, where we did tax reduction, stimulus or Trojan horse. And this is where I think the Trojan horse is. The good news is, I guess if there's anything, if you do not itemize your deductions, the standard deduction is going up. They're going to double it. They're going to double it for single individuals from 6 to 12,000. They're going to double it for married couples from 12 to 24. So that's good news if you're in a lower bracket and you don't itemize. But there's also the possibility of tax increases coming in by doing away with many of the tax deductions used to lower your taxes on your tax return.
I know we covered a lot of this on the Financial Sense News Hour too, but why don't we go through a couple of these, because this will impact a very broad swath of people and it gives them an idea of exactly what we're discussing.
Well, if you look at your Schedule A of itemized deductions on your tax return, there's seven areas that people use to subtract from their income, and they're called itemized deductions. One is medical expenses. If your medical expenses exceed 10% of your adjusted gross income, you get to deduct that. Think of how this is going to impact people that get seriously ill. They go through a major illness, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, or even worse, go into a long-term care facility. I have a client right now, the one thing that is helping their mother on their tax return is her long-term care facility payments of over $6,500 a month are a deduction on her tax return. So basically, she's not paying a lot of income taxes. That could go away and affect a lot of people that get sick or go into long-term care. One that's going to affect many of you is deductibility of your state income taxes and your property taxes, state and local taxes, real estate taxes, personal property taxes. Like here in California, if you're a business, you pay a 1% personal property tax on just about anything you buy in your business. This is the big one, because for a lot of people in the higher income brackets, this is a whopper. And even though they're talking about lowering the tax bracket from 39 to 35, if you do away with these itemized deductions, people in the higher brackets could end up paying more taxes. Number three, the home mortgage interest. Now, right now, they're talking about leaving that in. You can deduct interest on $1 million mortgage and $100,000 second mortgage. Number four, charity. They want to leave that in because charities would scream. I mean, they depend on the donations from well-to-do individuals that deduct whatever they donate to charity on their tax return. So if they save anything, they might save mortgage interest or limit it in charity because of the huge lobbying groups. And basically, they destroy much of the charitable gifting if wealthy people cannot deduct what they give to a charity. Number five, casualty and theft losses. Think of all those people that live in Houston, along the Gulf Coast, or in Florida, or the Florida Keys, or Puerto Rico that got hit with those hurricanes. Think of the damage to their homes. Well, what if you don't have insurance coverage, or what if your insurance company doesn't cover all that? If your casualty and theft losses exceed 10% of your adjusted gross income, you get to deduct that on your tax return. Another thing, unreimbursed job expenses. Think of union dues, think of travel expenses, or education that you have to pay for related to your job. And then finally, there's miscellaneous deductions. So, John, the thing that I fear most, and we talked about this, is they lower the tax rates. But one thing we don't know is, where are the brackets going to be set for these lower tax rates? They can lower tax rates and actually increase taxes by just simply lower the brackets at which these tax rates, lower tax rates, kick in. We don't know that yet. We don't know what the final outcome is going to be on itemized deductions. And for a lot of working individuals, especially a lot of middle class people, a lot of their tax savings, because outside of contributing to a 401k program, where do they take their deductions? It's mainly from things like that. Medical expenses, taxes for you pay on property taxes, state and local taxes. I mean, if you live in California, we live in the highest tax state in the country. The income tax rate is 13.3%. Real estate values here, we'll get to in a second, are the highest in the nation. The average median house price in Los Angeles is $580,000. In San Francisco, it's $1.4 million. Imagine paying close to 2% property tax on a home that's that valued, or paying 13.3% income tax. So if you don't itemize, the new law raises the standard deduction. That's good news, but also they take away from exemptions. I have clients right now that are taking care of grandchildren because the loss of one of their children. I can think of three clients right now that are raising their grandchildren. So they have exemptions for those children because they're providing their financial support. They're doing away with personal exemptions.
You know, the really big one is the state tax deduction. So it's really, you know, if you have a very heavy state income tax, then that also affects your federal. So who really gets clobbered by this? Obviously, California. Who else?
California's at the top of the list. New York, Connecticut, Maryland, Oregon, Rhode Island, Minnesota, New Jersey, Massachusetts. All of these states are going to get hit pretty hard because they have tax rates that range from the upper 7 all the way up to 13.3 in California. Here's the thing we don't know, John. There's 33 Republican congressmen in these high tax states. And can you see those people running up for re-election next year saying, hi, I voted to take away your state income tax and property tax deduction? So there's talk that maybe they might come up with a cap. One plan that I saw, I forget if it was Trump's original plan or Paul Ryan's, would cap itemized deductions at $100,000 for single individuals, $200,000 for married couples, or there may be a percentage cap, or they may phase out itemized deductions based on a certain income level. In other words, if you're Larry, lots of bucks, you're making $1 million a year or several million a year, they may phase out those deductions for you. But we still don't know that. So the non-deductibility of certain of these deductions is, John, is the same thing as an income tax increase. There could be a lot of people, especially living in the states of New York, California, New Jersey, and these states, that actually end up seeing their tax rate go down, but their actual taxes go up because they lose the tax deductions for all these things that I talked about, whether it was medical expenses, state and local taxes, casualty theft losses, unreimbursed job losses, miscellaneous expenses, or even medical expenses. I mean, if they do away with those, that's going to hit a lot of people where it hurts, because a lot of people use itemized deductions to lower their taxes.
You know, as we examine this thing, it has a real smell to it that's familiar as a bait and switch type of thing. Remember, we went through this during the Reagan tax reform when they got rid of a lot of deductions in exchange for a lower tax rate. But then right after that, Congress began raising the rates again. It was raised under Bush. It was raised under Clinton, finally, to 39.6%. Only now you didn't have the deductions to offset the increase in the tax rate. So it was a bait and switch. You know, it was really unfair.
Well, this is going to have a big impact on seniors, and where I could see this really hitting a lot of seniors is the deductibility of medical expenses and especially long-term nursing care, or, for example, seniors that live in retirement states like Florida. Think of the hurricane damage there as a result of the recent hurricanes. And also think of, you know, John, this is the second time that we've seen this in the last 10 or 12 years. Think of Katrina and Rita back in 2005. So this is something we know occurs. And imagine if you no longer can deduct the losses of losing your home or, for example, a serious medical illness that sets you back with out-of-pocket medical expenses. So whenever you hear of tax reform, it's usually a prelude to higher taxes. And one of the reasons, you know, that I think this is coming, and I think this is a Trojan horse, is the government is sitting on $20 trillion in debt. George Bush doubled the debt from $5 trillion to $10. Obama succeeds him and doubles it from $10 to $20. And we know this year the budget deficit will be close to $600 billion and more. We know that budget is getting bigger for reason number two. More baby boomers are retiring, which means more Social Security and Medicare expense. So Social Security and Medicare are at risk in the next decade. Number three, budget entitlements are the fastest growing portion of the federal budget. It now makes up close to 67% of every dollar the government spends is going to entitlements, and that figure is rising and will soon be over 70% as we head into the next decade. And folks, that doesn't include what we're paying in interest expense, which is also going up now, or what we're spending on military. And the fourth reason is we are now seeing rising interest rates for the first time in 8 years. The government's fiscal year for 2017 will actually see the government pay more in interest expense than they did in the previous 8 years when interest rates were going down.
Okay, say I'm getting ready for retirement and I'm watching this happen. What can I do to minimize my taxes legitimately as part of my retirement planning?
Well, I mean, if you take a look at your three biggest expenses in retirement, housing, healthcare, and taxes. If you live in high tax states, you're probably living in a state where it's more expensive to live. Housing and healthcare and taxes, all of those, they go hand in hand in these states that have high taxes. You generally see higher living expenses. Think of New York, what real estate prices are in Long Island. Think of New Jersey. Think of California. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal this week that talked about our idiot governor. There's a housing shortage. Rents are the most expensive in the country next to New York. And houses are the most expensive in the country. The median price home in Los Angeles is $575,000. In San Francisco, it's $1.4 million. Governor Brown passed 15 bills raising taxes and fees on real estate transactions to pay for low-income housing. He's basically saying we don't have enough low-income housing. So what we're going to do is raise more taxes on real estate. There's now a fee when you sell a home. The state of California charges a fee on the sale of a home. It's a small percentage at this point. Utility rate taxes are also going up based on your usage. So usually these high tax states like California or New York, you see higher medical expenses because doctors, hospitals have to charge more because it costs more to live in those states. Housing is more expensive in those states along with taxes. So one of the trends that we're seeing, at least in our own practice with our clients, is a growing number of them are choosing to move out of the state of California. And they're doing that because, number one, they can move to another state where the cost of housing is much cheaper. I mean, folks, when you take a look at the median price in Los Angeles is $575,000 or $1.4 million in San Francisco, it gives you a flavor of what we're talking about. Number two, lower income taxes, or better yet, no state income taxes. So we're seeing a lot of our clients move to states like Texas is one of them, Nevada is one of them, Arizona is one of them, although Arizona does have income taxes and they lowered the brackets in which those tax rates kick in. And number three, they're cashing out the equity of an expensive home. I mean, think if you own a home in San Francisco, where the average price is $1.4 million. Think if you sold that home and moved to Phoenix or Nevada, Las Vegas or Reno, what you could pick up a home in those states compared to what you would be selling in Los Angeles, San Diego, or San Francisco.
I'm curious about your clients because I know in my part of the country here in the Idaho, East Washington area, North Idaho, East Washington, right here in our town, about a third of the population is now California expats, and that's just happened over the last 20 years. It was not that way when we first located here 25 years ago, and I know a lot of people are moving out. So what's your experience among your clientele as far as leaving California, for example?
We see two patterns. One, they move to states close by, no tax states like Nevada and Texas is very common. We're seeing them move to either Henderson, Reno, Vegas, Phoenix, Arizona, Sun City, Arizona is another one. Texas, Dallas, and other areas that aren't close to the hurricane coast is another area. Or they're moving to low tax states in the Midwest, someplace where they have children that they have to be closer to the kids. And sometimes that can be a mistake because I hate to tell the parents, kids get transferred today. But it's one thing that we're seeing more and more of, because if they get rid of itemized deductions for high tax states like California, you are going to see a movement. I know the Wall Street Journal has done a number of stories of the companies that are leaving California. Bank of America, Wells Fargo used to be headquartered here. Now they're in North Carolina. I mentioned earlier in the year, Nestle just closed its final factory in Los Angeles. Toyota just closed down its factory in Los Angeles. They're moving out. California is losing over 100,000 taxpayers per year, and unfortunately, they're not being made up. And these are high-income taxpayers. And John, California is going to be in big trouble in the next recession, because California, because of technology, think of the tech bubble, think of the social media bubble, 20% of California's revenues come in from capital gains. During the financial crisis, that dropped to 4% and sent the state heavily in debt. And they're projecting that in the next downturn, the state could be running $20 to $30 billion budget deficits. And these idiots will probably raise taxes again, driving more people out of the state. So what you're seeing is if they do away with itemized deductions for state and property taxes, this is going to accelerate a trend we're starting to see in high tax states, whether it's New Jersey, New York, California, an exodus out of these states by companies and individuals. They're leaving in droves in California. And California, John, is becoming almost like a two-class society, the haves and the have-nots. And, you know, the individuals are moving. The trend is they're moving to places where the cost of housing is cheaper, taxes are non-existent or much lower, a better quality of life, less stressful, less traffic. You know, this is something I did living here 20 years ago. I call it live, work, and play. I moved, so I'm no longer on the freeways. I'm 5 minutes or 10 minutes away from where I have to go to work. So I don't have to spend an hour both to and from going to work getting caught up in a traffic jam. So it's not just a cost issue, a tax issue. It's also a quality of life issue. The stress of being caught up in traffic jams like the I-5, or imagine, you know, Los Angeles traffic. So when it comes to retirement, what we're starting to see is a number of issues that people are using to cope with in retirement with these three things: housing, medical, and taxes. We're seeing people delay retirement. We're seeing people work part-time as a matter of making up the difference of two bear markets. And we're also seeing tax inversions where people actually move to other states. If they get rid of income taxes and property taxes, one way to solve that problem is just move to a state that has either low taxes or no taxes at all, and you just solved your problem. Think if you live in California or New York, where, like in my own state, you pay up to 13.3% of your income in taxes, or you're paying up to 2% of property taxes on property that is highly valued, more than any other state in the country, next to New York or maybe Hawaii.
And, you know, Jim, we're seeing here in Idaho, we're seeing exactly what you're talking about. A third of our population, you know, is ex-Californians now. And it completely changes, by the way, sometimes the political makeup of where they move, and a lot of times the tax makeup as well, to the places to where they go. So this actually impacts upon the state. Sometimes it's a boon. One of the reasons in our area of the country we didn't feel the crash as much was California flight capital at about the very same time. So it kept infusing capital into the area.
Well, John, I just want to tell you, get ready to welcome new neighbors, because California is, I kid you not, we raised taxes in 2010, the income tax rate. We raised them again in 2012. We raised them again with fees in 2015. We just raised a $52 billion tax increase on cigarettes, gasoline, vehicle fees, and we're now raising taxes on housing. The governor just passed 15 bills affecting housing. I mean, so expect more Californians in your neighborhood.
You know, maybe Idaho should build a wall. What do you think? Somehow that seems to be as part of the
keep up,
seems to be part of the national dialogue nowadays, right? Let's build walls. Okay. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Carolyn Rosenblatt will be with us. Elder abuse, especially financial elder abuse, will be the subject of conversation. Time for our real life case study, which of course is always a hypothetical illustration based on real life examples. Names and circumstances have been changed, and we do have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points Jim is making. Now, I'm curious to see how you're going to plug this into the whole conversation about taxes.
Okay, this week's case study is Greg Flowers. Greg is age 62. He would like to retire in 5 or 6 years. His life expectancy, his grandfather almost lived to become a centenarian. His life expectancy, based on the health questionnaire we did in his plan, is 96. He's moderately conservative. Like many people, he wants to preserve his assets. Greg is a marketing director. He's lived in Northern California his entire life. He's one of those rare breeds of people in California, John, that actually was born here. He enjoyed his career as marketing director for a well-respected Fortune 500 company. Recently, he's become more anxious about his ability to retire, given Northern California's relative high cost of living. Greg has appreciated making a great income. However, the combination of taxes, the cost of living, have made it difficult for him to save as much as he would have liked. Taxes have gone up for Greg, as they have many Californians, everything from property taxes to income taxes to utility fees, you name it. If it lives, breathes, or moves in California, they're finding ways to tax. For Greg's retirement, ideally means moving to a less crowded, quiet, and more serene place to live. He loves the Bay Area and all that it has offered him. I'm like, he was born in that area. He grew up there. However, he's becoming more and more disenchanted about the area because he can't seem to accomplish his financial goals. Plain and simple, it is expensive to live in California, and it's very important to Greg that he's able to live the lifestyle that he wants. His dream is to own a home, not have to rent, and not be forced to live frugally in the expensive Bay Area. Greg is open to the idea of moving, but is unsure as to where he wants to go. His risk score is 4. His portfolio is 6. So his portfolio is pretty decently diversified. We are going to help him minimize more and more and make that much safer, especially when you're only 3 or 4 years away from retirement. A couple of things that are important to Greg. He wants to buy a home. If he leaves California, he wants to be able to own a home. He doesn't want to rent. He wants to cut back on taxes because taxes are taking a bigger bite out of his paycheck. He doesn't want to give out his lifestyle. And of course, like anybody retiring, he doesn't want to run out of money. His essential budget is $87,000. Discretionary is $42,000. So Greg's spending about $129,000. His salary is roughly about $179,000. His surplus is roughly about $39,000. He would like to spend the same kind of money when he retires, so his budget drops a little bit, drops down to about $115,000. Social Security for Greg will be $34,000. Greg's pension from the company will be $59,000. He will be short about $24,000 when he retires. Now, his investment assets, Greg's retirement plan is $510,000. His taxable account is $286,000. Money in cash is $32,000. Total investment is $828,000. Notice I mentioned one thing. Greg does not own a home. As I mentioned earlier in this program, the mean average price home in San Francisco is $1.4 million, and I'm not talking about a McMansion at $1.4 million. McMansions are running anywhere from $5 to $10 million. So his total investment assets are $828,000, net worth $816,000. The things that we were looking at, he would like to be able to purchase a home because he hasn't been able to in San Francisco. He's mainly spent his entire working career paying rent, managing his expectations, helping him to determine the best place to move, manage sequence risk of another bear market, and handling longevity, given that longevity runs in Greg's family, both on his mom's side and his father's side. As we mentioned, Greg's pension would be $59,000, Social Security $34,000. By diversifying his assets, he would have roughly about $25,000 of income, less his budget, barely a surplus of about $1,500. What we began talking about with Greg is he has a few more years until he retires. We recommended that he take some weekend trips to visit areas that he would be interested in moving to. If he liked the location, we suggest that he spend a week or so there in order to help better determine what area of the country he might like to spend his retirement. But Greg's goal is the day he retires, he's moving from California. He basically said, Jim, I can't afford to live here in retirement because I won't have my salary anymore. He wants to buy a home, and depending on where he moves to, he'd like to be able to afford something in the neighborhood of $200,000 to $300,000. The actual amount that Greg would expect to spend would be determined, obviously, by the state's cost of living, state taxes, and cost of living. So one of the areas he is looking at is the Reno area of Nevada. Number one, the housing's cheaper there. Number two, there's no income taxes, which would go a long way to actually saving extra money. We provided different states, but by leaving California, Greg would dramatically lower his income and property taxes, and lowering these costs would allow him easily to buy a home and live his desired lifestyle. We advised him to relocate to reduce the amount of assets that would be needed to fund his living expenses in retirement because, you know, his main thing is, I can't live in San Francisco. I can't afford to buy here. I mean, homes cost millions of dollars here, and he would like to own a small home that he could call, finally, I own a home. And as we told him, I said, look, you know, not too far from you is Reno. It's about a couple-hour drive away from San Francisco, so that's one area he's looking at. I said, not only are the homes cheaper there, you could probably pick up something in the $250,000 to $300,000 range, but more importantly, you're going to pay zero income taxes, which will also greatly benefit you because remember, his income in retirement is going to be $118,000 in the state of California. That would cost him over easily $1,000 a month in state income taxes. So we said by moving to Nevada, you'd be saving automatically over $12,000 a year just in state income taxes, plus being able to afford to live to buy your home. And so this is one of the things, John, that we're exploring. He's in the pre-retirement phase with his portfolio, and he is now taking vacations. In fact, one of the things that he wants to do is during the Christmas break and vacation is actually go to Reno to see what it's like. San Francisco gets cool and windy during the winter months, so he's looking at the temperatures in Reno, what that would be like compared, and see if he could live there. I know looking at Reno, they have 4 months out of the year where the weather gets a little bit on the high side. During the summer, you have 2 months where it gets up to 90 during the day, 60 during the night. And then during the winter, you have 2 months where it gets to a high of 50 during the day and below 30 at night.
Yeah, how do you know those temperatures anyway, you know? I mean, especially, you know, in Reno, like you're at 5,000 feet as well. So you get a little more temperature swing. But how do you know all that?
Just say I'm looking.
I'm not going to say that. You can say that if you want. I'm not looking.
We're You're not. Well, I mean, the steak just keeps getting nuttier and nuttier, John, and every single, it's a one-party state now. And so they're just going crazy with fees and taxes. It's almost like every single year they're raising taxes. But anyway, in this case with Greg, a tax inversion, moving to Nevada would do a couple things for Greg's retirement. Number one, you would be able to actually buy and own a home because it would be affordable. And number two, he would dramatically cut his expenses by eliminating one of his biggest expenses right now, being single and working, is income taxes. And so this is all part of a retirement plan, tax inversions. It's why, folks, there's $2.5 trillion of overseas untaxed corporate profits because the U.S. has the highest corporate income tax rates. And it's one reason why you're seeing companies buy other companies and move to low tax jurisdictions around the globe, just as you're seeing individuals do the very same thing.
And coming up tomorrow on the program, Carolyn Rosenblatt, elder abuse right here on Lifetime Income. Looking forward to the weeks to come. What do you think we're doing?
We're going to be following this tax thing because my gut feeling tells me they're going to work out some kind of compromise and we're going to see this passed because the Republicans know they go into the midterm elections with no repeal of Obamacare, no tax cuts. They didn't accomplish anything. They're going to be known as the do-nothing Republicans. And so this tax bill is going to affect a lot of retirees. I don't care if it's medical expenses, property and casualty expenses, if you live in places that get hit by tornadoes or hurricanes, or people that live in high-tax states. So we're going to be paying a lot of attention to this. And as we get closer to the end of the year, we're going to be talking about tax planning, but also talking about what you really should be doing if you are 5 to 10 years out from retirement, just as Greg is doing right now. Greg is going to be looking at where he wants to live 3 to 4 years from now. Well, that concludes this week's Lifetime Income program. But don't forget to listen tomorrow as my guest will be Carolyn Rosenblatt as we talk about elder abuse, something that is increasingly on the rise in the U.S. She'll be my guest tomorrow. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.